For our scripture this morning, pardon me, I would like to have you open your Bibles. I didn't realize that there are Bibles located, right? And I didn't realize that until I read that today on something Barbara gave me about open the Bible. I never noticed that before. And I like that better than just reading off the screen. I'd like you to touch the scripture. So if you have access to a Bible or brought your own, please read it with me. I'm going to read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Matthew, chapter 25. Jesus says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the one who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good, faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." And his master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now this parable this morning may be one of those parables that you've heard before. It's told in 2 of the Gospels. Matthew tells it, Luke tells it. And as you hear this gospel message today, this particular parable, like most parables, you can approach it from more than one direction. And like most parables, there are often layers of interpretation that can be found in it. There's something amazing about Jesus, and that he can say something, and then you can step back and analyze it, reflect on it, and come up with a variety of messages to you. Well, this morning, I'm going to look at this passage, which is the first time I've done this way. And it struck me as important, so I'm sharing it with you. Now, we're not going to be talking about the value, particularly of five bags over two bags or one bag of gold. I mean, we could, but we don't want to do that. That's not our emphasis. Pure and simple, the emphasis this morning is this. When you come to this parable, the question I want you to ask is this. How do the servants view the master? When they think of the master, look at the master, what do they see? Who do they see? That's the message today. When you look at the distributor of gifts, who is it that you see? Now, a couple of things about this story. One is the master, because this is a kingdom parable, it says that earlier in the chapter, so that means this is about the kingdom of God where God rules. So the master in the story is obviously God or Jesus. He's the ruler. He's the master. He's the distributor of wealth, the giver. And as you look at this giver, you'll notice he distributes, it says, according to talents or according to abilities. Now that tells me a couple things, just briefly. If the master is distributing the gifts to these people, and he does it based upon their abilities, that means the master is obviously concerned about what they do with it. These things he gives out are important. And in distributing them, the master uses some wisdom. I'm giving them something important. Therefore, I'm distributing them according to their ability. Because my gifts are important. They're valuable to me. So that's what he's saying. That's what I want you to see this morning. Notice as well that it says he entrusts these gifts to the servants. Very important at the outset. It's a trust relationship. None of the servants can say, I'll take my share that I deserve. Not about deserving. It's not about requesting. It's about the master trusting the servant and giving something important or valuable. Which, by the way, makes me think, if this is a story or a parable about the master, the giver, then that says to me that he only gives good things. Whatever he gives to us must be good. And it must be important to him, and it must be that he trusts you with what's important to him. So, looking at him, you see how important you are. Amazing. We're important. Also a comment I put here in my notes to make sure. God doesn't give out any meaningless gifts. If God gives them, they're good. It's not meaningless. A year ago this week, we were in Kansas, and I went to the county fair in, I wrote it down, but I'm not going to look. The county, Aaron, what county did I? Smith County. I went to the Smith County Fair, and I met some kids from church there. And I met two brothers there. They were waiting for me. One was 7, and the other was 5. And when I showed up, oh, they were so excited to see Pastor Tom. And they took me on a tour of the fair. We went all over that fairground, and we saw all kinds of things. You know what they showed me? They started out and they showed me the chickens. These are the chickens that are, you know, going to be judged. And they showed me which one was whose, and this one is Asher's, you know. And then they go, here's the swine. And there's all these swine, and this one belongs to my brother, and this one belongs to my neighbor, and go through the swine. And then we go to the ducks and to the rabbits, and then we go to the beef, you know, and went through all these different kinds of animals and creatures. And I thought we were done. Oh, no, we're not done. They took me all the way across the field to these buildings. And in the buildings, there's all kinds of things on display. There was artwork, there was paintings, there was photography, there were cookies, and there was cake, and there was bread, and there were flowered arrangements and so on. This is my sister's. This is my sister's flower arrangement. She did that. Oh, and here's my brother Johnny's cookies. Johnny did those cookies. All these things. Now, I mention that because all these things were on display. They're all valuable. And you could not compare the swine to the cookie. And you cannot compare the beef to the chicken. They're different, and they're all important. All of them. Somebody invested in them and brought them. And I say the same thing to us as we receive God's gifts to us. We don't need to compare your gifts and my gifts. We don't need to go through life thinking, well, she's got better gifts. She can do this. I can't do that. There's no value in comparison. They're different. And all of them are to be presented. We're a gifted people. You contain gifts within yourself. We have gifts collectively. We don't compare our gifts this way or with other congregations. We are a gifted people. Now, what you know about the giver will determine how you respond with his gifts. What you know about the giver will determine how you respond with his gifts. That's what you see in this story. And so we have three recipients. They're all called servants. So they have the same basic relationship to the giver. He's the master, they're the servants. You can put the first two together in the same category as to how they saw the giver. Both of them saw the giver as somebody loving and kind, somebody they wanted to please. The third person saw the giver in a far, far different light. He saw the giver in a way that scared him. And so he responded as a scared recipient. Another story. You know I like stories. Imagine, here's a father who comes home from work, from PPI, is it here in town, or PPL? PPI? I never did know what that stands for, but I see it there, PPI. So here's a father who comes home from PPI every day at approximately the same time. His children know when he comes home because they can hear the garage door go open. Daddy's home. There's a 2.5-year-old girl here. She's observed Daddy's custom and habit every day he comes home. The garage door goes up, Daddy's home! And Daddy comes in through the door by the off the garage, in through the kitchen, and the first thing Daddy does, Daddy goes over by the table, he sits down, he takes off his shoes, puts his shoes on the floor, he takes out his slippers, puts his slippers on, and then he gets up, he goes to the refrigerator, he gets a glass of milk, he goes to the cookie jar, he reaches into the cookie jar, he gets a bunch of cookies, a handful, he goes and sits down by the table, and he eats the cookies and drinks the milk. This little 2.5-year-old girl saw that. Daddy's home! She gets up, Daddy comes in and Daddy goes to do his business over there by the table. But the little girl, seeing Daddy come in, she runs over to the kitchen. And she goes over there and she pulls out the drawers beneath the counter. She's made herself a ladder. She climbs up her ladder. She gets on top of the cupboard. When she's on the cupboard, she opens the cupboard door, and there is a glass, a plastic glass. She gets it out and puts it on the cupboard. Then she moves over to the other side there further, and she opens a cookie jar. She reaches in there, and she starts taking out cookies. Takes out a bunch of them. Well, a couple of them fall on the floor. They break. She steps on one. So she grabs a paper plate, and she gets the paper plate out of another thing, and she pushes all the cookies into the paper plate. Then she climbs back down her ladder. She sweeps up the other cookies from the floor, puts them in the paper plate, all the cookies and the crumbs. Now she opens the refrigerator door. She sets her glass on the floor. She takes out that gallon jug, which is half full, almost too heavy for her. She knows how to unscrew the top, and she pours, she aims at the cup. Her aim is not good, but for a 2.5-year-old, some of it comes in the cup, or the tumbler. And then, with a big smile on her face, most of the milk on the floor, she picks up the glass, she picks up the paper plate with cookies, and she comes to her daddy. All the while, her daddy has been watching this. He sees the cookies scraped up from the floor. He sees the milk more on the floor than in the glass. And what does the father do? He says, "Thank you, sweetie. Oh, thank you." See, the little girl wasn't afraid to bring that gift to her dad, even though she had crumbled the cookies, stood in the cupboard where she's not supposed to stand, pulled out the drawers which she's not supposed to climb in, poured the milk and spilled it all over the floor, even though she's not afraid of her dad. She knows her daddy. And her daddy knows her heart. He took her gift. The neighbor child next door is the same age. When her daddy comes home from work, she steps aside and hides. She would never dare to give her daddy broken cookies, let alone a whole cookie. He might reject it. She'd never pour him a glass of milk. She might spill it. And he would say some awful things. You see, the difference between the two children is what they know of the recipient. The one knows a loving, loving father and joyfully brings what she can. The other knows a terrifying dad and in her fear withdraws. You see, it makes a difference if you know who the giver is and who you're bringing your gifts to. And that's what you have in this particular parable. The first two saw the master as positive. The other one, the third, saw him in fear. Notice the response of the two. The first two responded gladly and took what had been given, and they went out and multiplied it, put it to work. The third one, he was afraid. He dug a hole. And he tells us why he dug the hole. He said, "I dug the hole because you, the one who gave it to me, because I know you. What do I know about you? I know you're hard. I know you're tough. I know you're unkind. I know you're nasty, as it were, all around. You're just an unpleasant guy." As a matter of fact, he clearly said, "You are a thief." Did you see that? He called the master a thief. How did he do that? He said, well, because you, master, I know you. You go, you reap what you didn't even sow. You take out what you didn't put in. You know who does that? Thieves. That's theft. If you didn't plant it, you have no right to harvest it. If you didn't deposit it, you have no right to withdraw it. That's what thieves do. And that's what he called the master, a thief. That's why I'm scared of you. I don't trust you. You're not trustworthy. Now, you think about that. Each of the servants responded to the same master. Each of the servants had received an entrustment, unearned. Each had received something valuable, something precious, something important to the master. And each of them responded with their gift according to how they viewed the master. And the parable tells us, and that's how the master responded to them. You see me as a loving God, you will receive loving responses in return. You see me as a vindictive judge of whom you should be terrified, calling me what I am not, then that's the kind of retreatment you will receive. Now, congregation, we know all of our gifts are given from God. We know that. Scripture says it. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Father of lights is the one who made the creation. They all come from him. We know that. And the question for you and for me today, individually and as a church, is how do we see the giver? How do you relate to the giver? Has God entrusted you with skills, abilities? Has God given to you relationships that are unique, positions that are particularly helpful? Has God given you resources? Now, how do you respond? How do you view that giver? Is he the God who's going to point out your shortcomings? Is he going to come find fault with what you come, return to him? Or do you see the God who gave you those gifts as the one who's rejoicing and so excited about seeing what you're going to bring back? Because when you bring them back, he says, I'll give you a party. That's what he said. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I've got something prepared. We're going to have fun. Which do you see? That's your choice. And you respond to him who gives them. How you respond will determine how he responds to you. Fear-based discipleship, people of God, is built on a misrepresentation of God. And it only leads to slavery. And I dare say this, being a Christ follower, yes, you must be courageous. Yes, you must be authentic. You must be. But it's not just about avoiding sin. Being a Christ follower is about courageously and passionately using his gifts for good. The treasures he's given to you, using them for good in a way that you know will please him. And he will respond with good. God has given this congregation gifts, multiple gifts, many gifts. And I believe God gives you these gifts anticipating, eagerly awaiting your presentation of what you did with them, because he would like to celebrate with you. Remember the church at Ephesus spoke about 2 weeks ago? And Jesus was the one speaking and addressing the church. And he said to that church, you know, you've lost your first love. You got to get it back. You got to get it back. And when you do, and you invest in it, and when you do, and you stick with it, and you endure to the end, when you do, I'll throw a party for you. That wasn't me. That was Jesus. He said, I will invite you. You will be invited into the paradise of God where there is the tree of life. Now that's a party. Now the danger we face as Christians, but also as a congregation, there's a very real danger that we see the treasure is given to us, we identify it as valuable, as important, as wonderful, but the dangers, we respond in fear. And we say as a people, let's play it safe. Let's play it safe with what God has done. Let's not risk it. Let's not invest it. Let's not take it someplace where we're a little uncertain. No. Let's dig a hole. Let's just store it right here. We'll know right where it is. We'll always be able to find it. Let's just dig ourselves a little hole. That's a danger for any congregation. What I've come to think, and I've told you many times since I've been here this summer with Aaron, we both said, what a beautiful building. Oh, what a beautiful building. What a gift. What a gift. And it's paid for. I told you that so many times, I'll never forget. It's paid for. You have no debt. What a gift. Are you afraid you might lose it? You know, this building could be a really attractive burial plot. You could bury a lot of good stuff in here. Close the windows, close the doors, keep it for yourselves. And I guarantee, if you bury the gifts in this building, you will lose the building and the gifts, and you won't celebrate at the party. He wants you at the party. He's told you that in the story. So the question then is, how can we use the gifts? Do you ever think of getting your heads together, small groups, and saying, what could we do with this gift? Where could we invest it? How could we invest it? What could we do with it? Oh, man, can you imagine if God came back and said, wow, you guys did good. Wouldn't that be awesome? You've got gifts and talents, musical gifts, musical talents, financial gifts, educational gifts, mechanical gifts. You've got gifts. Now you look at the giver. How you see the giver is going to determine how you use his gifts. He gave them to you. He trusted you. Are you trustworthy? Wouldn't you like to just come back with your arms full? I'd love to see Jesus laughing. Oh my, golly, you did good. When I talked to a young man this week who was at the cadet camporee. It was fun to hear him talk about the camporee. And he told me, he says, you know, we were all these different camps, and the camps were different colors and so on. And he said, I don't know which camp it was, the brown camp, whatever, some camp. They had made catapults, which is a giant slingshot, basically. They made catapults. And you know what they did? They put berries in the catapult. And they launched those berries over at the other kids, and they got splattered with berries. They laughed. It was so much fun. They catapulted them. And I thought, you know, Wouldn't that be a good vision of a church called Cornerstone? Cornerstone. That's the church where they're building courageous and authentic Christ followers. That's the church with a catapult. They fling blessings all over the place. They load them up every Sunday. They fill their people up with the blessings of God, and then they launch them into the week. Oh, they go everywhere. They go to PPI. They go to Kroger. Don't have a Kroger. They go to Walmart. They go to Hy-Vee. I wish you had a Kroger. But they go there. They go to the schools. They go to the insurance agencies. They go to the convenience store. They just come back the next week and they get all loaded up and whammo, out they go again. Some of them go as far as the Philippines, and sometimes they go to Cambodia and they go to Czechoslovakia. Wow! That's the catapult church. That's what you ought to be known as. The catapulting church. The sending church. I suppose you could be called the storage church. Doesn't sound like much joy in being in the storage depot, does it? You could be the distribution center. See, it all depends on how you see God, who gave you the gifts. He's the giver. He's given to you. He's given to us. And he's waiting with joy and anticipation to invite you to the celebration as you return your gifts. And now this morning, he's demonstrating to you who he is. I am the giver. I give my best gift to you. I give Jesus, I give my son to you. I give his life to you. That you may have life abundant and free. And that you may do like he said. Freely you've received, freely give. You know what I've learned? You can't outgive God. You try to empty a storehouse and see what happens. Just see what will happen. So we come today to the Lord's table. And we're going to celebrate his goodness and his love and his grace. We're going to do it a little bit differently than the last time. Today we're going to celebrate coming forward. And we're coming forward as an expression of the recipient to the giver. We're the recipients. He's the giver. So we're coming as a receiver to receive what he has given. We come. And we're going to come down that aisle there, that in-betweener aisle, and this in-betweener aisle. And you'll have ushers who will usher you from the back, telling you when to come forward. And you'll come forward, and then you're going to stand. Those in this section here, when you come forward, pardon me, you're going to come down this aisle, this side together. The ushers will let you know when to come. You come to the aisle. Those on this section will come and turn here and stand in front of the chairs, facing this way. The people from this center aisle, you'll come down this aisle, stand in front of the chairs, facing this way. You will be served, and the same with the groups over there. You will be served by the elders, and they will present to you the body of Christ, broken for you, the blood of Christ, shed for you. And after you have taken the bread, they'll serve all of you, they'll come back, they'll serve the juice or the wine to you. And then you may deposit your cup here in the receptacle and go down the center aisle, back to your seat. Go down the outside aisle, back to your seat. Now we're inviting you to come as family units or groups. But if you have a family and you have children with you, bring your children. Because you see, we're commemorating the New Testament version of the Old Testament sacrifice called Passover. In the Old Testament, the Passover was celebrated, including the children. They all gathered together. As a matter of fact, it was a child who would say, "What makes this day so special, different from all the other ones?" It's a child. And so we bring our children. And if they haven't made profession of faith, they simply stand and they observe the sacrament. And may that observation prick their heart that they too will say, "I want to come forward understanding the gospel and receiving Jesus Christ as my Savior." And so after you've been served, you return to your seat until all have been served. If anyone is uncomfortable coming forward for any reason, health or anything else, just remain in your seat. And when we're finished, the elders will then go back, and if you raise your hand that you did not come forward but would like to be served, the elders will come and they'll bring you the sacrament. The elders will also go and bring the sacrament to those serving in the nursery and in the children's hour, that all may be served. And so this is our privilege on this Sunday morning, coming to Him who came to us. And so as we prepare our hearts now for the Lord's Supper, we'll join together in prayer. Father God, we've assembled ourselves here today, O God, in your presence, because you called us here to give you worship. And so gladly we've come. Our hearts have been opened. And now we pray, Lord, that you would receive us at the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe, Lord Jesus, that you invited us here. We're here by your invitation. And so we come, that we may receive that which is very, very physical, that we might be blessed in a very spiritual way. We open our hearts to you, and we ask your blessing upon us. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.